WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we are focusing on education and in particular the Rutherford County Schools. Visiting with us, the Assistant Superintendent for Engineering and Construction, Trey Lee, is here. Trey, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Good to have you with us today. You've got a busy job.
Well, we have quite a bit going on, yes, sir.
And the growth here in this area is phenomenal. Some people are smiling and some aren't. So,
well, it's
you're scratching your head, I guess.
It hasn't slowed down in the last few years, and indications are it's not going to slow down for the next few.
That seems to be the way it is here. The secret is out. Pull that mic around to you a little bit more, aim it toward you and everything. Okay. Also visiting with us is James Evans, the Director of Communications for Rutherford County Schools. James, good morning to you.
Good morning. Happy first day of fall. It doesn't feel like fall, does it?
No, but I like the sound of it, though. Maybe it'll feel like it soon. Came in at 3:30 this morning. Everybody out there, be thinking fall. Maybe it'll come sooner. 1,100 new students already.
Yeah, we 1,100 new students from the end of last school year. And the other thing that's amazing about that is that we will continue to grow throughout the school year, so that number will continue to rise. And that's why we have Mr. Lee and his staff is to figure out what we do with those students as far as facilities and new buildings and being creative with spaces and all those sorts of things.
Now, we've barely gotten into the new school year.
Well, it feels that way, but we're actually almost a fourth of the way through. In 2 weeks, we have fall break, and that marks the quarter mark for the year. So it gets quicker every year, it seems like.
But we
have been in school now for 7 weeks.
Well, let me ask you this. With 1,100 new students in the schools now, is that considerably ahead of previous years?
We've been consistently growing between 1,000 and 1,200 over the last 4 or 5 years. So it's right in where it should be. We always anticipate somewhere in that range. Sometimes it's a little less or a little more, but 1,100 is right in the middle. So it's about what we were expecting.
And when you compare us to other school systems in Tennessee.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. We are now the fourth largest school district in Tennessee, which puts us ahead of Chattanooga, Hamilton County. So it runs Shelbyville, which is Shelby County, which is Memphis, Nashville, Knox County, and then us.
And you mentioned, I think, or maybe it was a talk about the police departments, one of those topics. We were pretty close to Knox County as far as looks like population goes.
They have about 3,000 more students than we do. And so if you add us and Murfreesboro City Schools together, so as a county, we are growing very quickly probably will surpass Knox County in the next few years.
That's amazing. I mean, you think of Murfreesboro and Rutherford County as a lazy little rural community, but that would put us, when that happens, the second or the third largest in the whole state.
That's right. And there are, obviously some charm about this county that still reminds you of a smaller place, but we're also seeing some of the effects of that growth, too. It takes 20 minutes to get across town when it used to take 5, depending on the time of day and things like that. So it is, I think people are starting to realize how quickly we are growing and the effects that's having.
Now, one of the great things that we have is a phenomenal school system, two great school systems, both of them winning awards and doing great jobs, no negatives coming out like we hear in other areas. Will we be able to maintain this with this growth, or is the growth helping us to maintain it?
I think we have good people in place. We have supportive parents. We have a supportive community, and those are all keys to maintaining that school district. We have a county commission that is working its best to help us with funding. They're getting asked for funding from lots of different areas, but they realize the importance of having that strong education system because it ties so much together. You know, employers, when they're moving here to locate for a new headquarters or to offer new jobs, one of the first questions they ask is, you know, the education system and the workforce, you know, and we work very closely with the Chamber of Commerce to help with those types of strategies to make sure that we're maintaining those things. So I think that we will be okay with even with the growth. But, you know, there's always areas we can improve, and we're looking for those as well.
Now, let me ask Trey a question, because with this kind of growth that we are having, you have to be ahead of the growth. I mean, you have to sort of have a feel of where these schools are needed. And you're, somebody said that where you place the schools determines to a degree where our growth is. Well, maybe it's a double-headed thing.
It is. I've always said, you know, the old saying is build it and they will come. Well, the developers have figured out that if they follow the schools, that'll have as hard a time selling their homes. None of them are having, you know, too difficult a time right now. We have but, yes, sir, it is very difficult. In fact, we start the first week of school seeing where our numbers are and what we're doing. And we have, you know, historical data that we go by, you know, numbers for each year and growth. And in the years past, we've been able to kind of track the growth because it would be in pockets of the county and it would kind of move around. Right now, it's countywide. It's all over. There are no, you know, pockets that we didn't see. You can ride around and see all the new subdivisions. Last year, I gave out some statistics while we were doing our town hall talks last year. City of Murfreesboro last year, a little over 2,500 single-family home building permits, a little over 1,500 in apartments. We're seeing the same thing out in the county. You know, you used to see 25 homes, or now they're 250 to 300. I was at a planning commission meeting week before last, and there's a new subdivision that was, you know, being proposed. It's 450 homes out on the south end, you know, close to Christiana. And it's just not, it's all over. So that makes it that much more difficult.
Well, I guess the big question is, where will you be breaking ground next?
Well, we just opened this year Rockwell High School and Rocky Fork Elementary. Great success. When you open two schools in 1 year, it kind of puts a strain on a lot of our resources. We had to reroute buses. We have 150 new bus routes this year based on that rezoning and new schools. Right now we have under construction an annex addition for Rock Springs Elementary. On the north end, we're in the design phase of our for an elementary school between Christiana and elementary Buchanan Elementary, and we're seeing some increased growth faster than we had kind of anticipated. The Blackman area has been growing for a few years, but that growth is accelerating. So we're actually looking to find some property out on that end of the county, somewhere in that Highway 96 between Veterans and 840, somewhere, you know, trying to get something between Stewart's Creek and Blackman that can help with the Blackman schools. And the Stewart's Creek's now at max. The surprise we got this year was Rockwell Middle. Their increase was 200 students. We're not in one grade band.
And
we don't, that was unexpected. I mean, it was totally unexpected. It was way more than any of their past trends had been. We don't know where they came from. But so we need something to help Rockwell Middle, Blackman, and Stewart's Creek.
So you built the high school over in Rockville. These are all on the same campus, the elementary school, the middle school, and the high school. But suddenly the middle school has magic growth of 200 people in one band, one grade band?
Yes, sir. It's we've never had that before. So it was kind of requires additional teachers that you don't have.
And we
take all these numbers every year, and that's how the instruction department determines, you know, which, you know, how many growth positions and teachers and that sort of thing. And this caught all of us by surprise.
Wow. And they had the first year of the high school out there. I mean, this phenomenal growth over there.
Yes, sir.
But we're seeing that the city is seeing it, too. I think the city opened another school this year in that area, elementary school, obviously. But I believe they have three elementary schools within a mile and a half or so of each other.
That's the new phenomenon for Rutherford County is the density. That sleepy county that we, most of us that grew up here, that we knew as growing up, where you had the community schools and you had space and growth. And the thing that's getting us now is with the apartment complex and the condos, the newer generation is not looking as much for homes with acreage and land, and they don't want to mow grass and all the things that, you know, maybe we did growing up. And so the apartment complexes in the density, your analogy is correct, that we're getting schools closer and closer together. Our numbers go up and the schools get closer together instead of going farther apart.
And so that creates, I guess, challenges for you. First of all, how do you find the land? And then with the land going for what it's going now, it's a pretty expensive venture.
Yes, sir, and that's why a couple of years ago we started looking for property that we could build three schools on. You know, they bought the three-school site out between Christiana and Buchanan, and then we bought the Matthews property out at 231. That's going to be for a middle school and a high school on that end, and we're looking for property out on the west side. We had thought we'd had a couple of pieces that were, you know, in that three-school campus, Stewart's Creek, Rockville, same follow suit, but it's very difficult to find that type of property that not only suits our needs, but it doesn't cost a fortune to get it where it's ready for, you know, schools to be built. And also, when you get out away from the city, Murfreesboro or Smyrna, there's no sewer, so you have to build your own sewer system. We call them sand filtration systems, and the problem we're having on that side of town is that there's just not dirt. I mean, it's rocky.
All rock.
It's all rock, and there's very little dirt. So you may find a piece of property that may work, but there's no dirt there, so you can't build up your own sewer system. Or if you find a piece that maybe it's got an underground stream or a cave or it's been very challenging on that side of town.
So if you are looking for land that will perk, supposedly, you may have the ideal site. You may have put everything together and thought, this is it. And then you check the soil, it won't work.
Yes, sir.
How much land? You're saying you're looking for three schools on one campus, elementary, middle, and high school. How much land is that?
Well, if you get all three schools together and you had pretty decent soils where you could build your sand filtration system, you're looking at probably 200 to 225 acres.
Yeah, you're talking about a big farm.
Yeah, so what we've the board here a few weeks back, to, you know, made the decision that we've been struggling trying to find that land, that maybe what we really need is land for a middle school. That's our biggest need on that end right now is to back up and maybe just try and buy 50 acres to build a middle school on, or 75 to 100 where we could get a middle and an elementary and not necessarily have to have the 250 acres. So we've kind of scaled that back. I've begun looking at the county maps and trying to analyze those kind of things to where we can maybe get back to 50 to 60 acres and just build one school or possibly two, depending on the size of the property.
Do you foresee a need for county sewers coming up soon? Or I mean, this bit about rocks and not perking, that's not new to Rutherford County.
No, sir. And the problem now is that, you know, Murph, we're beginning to look at capacity for some of these things. I know the city of Murfreesboro is now but looking at their urban growth boundaries, and they're trying to get creative on also on what potentially could they tell a developer you're going to need to build a possibly build a your own sand filtration system, not tie onto our sewer, because they're beginning to see, kind of like the landfill, that there is a end to this growth, and there is a, and it's a capacity is going to stop the growth from the sewer system side.
So, you know, you look back over the decades, and people have talked about a metro form of government in Rutherford County. It never happened. In fact, if you look at studies over the entire United States, I'm not sure that there's ever been a community that's gone metro government unless there was a crisis, usually a money-backed crisis. I've never heard of them thinking about metro because of a crisis of too much happening in your community. But that could be the thing that pushes us. A crisis of needing too many things, sewers and all of these things. We can't do it as municipalities. Don't know.
I don't either. I don't have that answer.
But is it that accurate? Is that an accurate description?
Well, I know that the metro thing has been studied several times, and it's taken a long time to do that study. And then there were cases where they came back and said that it in the short term, it actually might cost us more money because of equalizing salaries between the cities and the county and things like that, and health benefits and all those kinds of things that you have to do to get things to sync up. So that's I don't know if that's the solution or not, if Metro would do it or not, if it would be more of a headache than it's worth. But definitely what we try to do is work together with these different municipalities to, on some of the planning things. We have a person on our staff named Shane Morgan, and his role is to work with the various planning departments to help us figure out where the next subdivisions are coming and the new roads and all those sorts of things. And we incorporate that into our building program. And that gives us a little bit of a head start when we're at least planning for things. Sometimes we do have anomalies like we had in Rockville, where just more people moved in than we expected over the summer because of whatever reason. We like to think it's because of the great schools in that area. They were attracted to that. And so you see these spikes sometimes that pop up in certain areas. That's what's crazy about this growth, is that it's not typically in one area. It's spread out across the entire county for a large chunk of the county. And so that makes it very difficult to plan for new facilities, because you can't just build one school and solve the problem. You've got to build schools and additions all over the county because of these pockets of growth we're seeing.
You're in a growing area. If you just moved here, hold on. Things are going big in Rutherford County. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be back and continue the conversation about Rutherford County schools and the growth that they're having. Our number, because we're entering the segment where it's your show, 615-893-1450. Yeah, that's it. Just dial us, 615-893-1450. If you have a question, a comment, if you want to put in your 2 cents, this is your chance, 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
Receive breaking news, sports scores, traffic, and weather bulletins on your cell phone. Sign up for text alerts at WGNSradio.com.
I'm Peter Demas, inviting you to eat with our family at Demas's Restaurant. If you're having friends over or needing to get an office get-together, Demas's Restaurant can help. We now have catering menus that can supply pasta bar or grilled chicken, box lunches, a burger bar, and we can do all sorts of things in order to make your evening where you don't have to do all the cooking or cleaning or have to worry about things at the last minute. Let us take care of it for you. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City. I'd like to invite your family to come do business with our family. And here at Animal City, we have a full range of pond supplies and pond experts to make sure that your dream becomes a reality. For those of you looking to stay cool inside and still be entertained, we have all of the supplies necessary to keep a beautiful and tranquil aquarium. This is Amanda from Animal City. Come see us and our pets at Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street, Murfreesboro.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
It's happening. Wherever cupcakes are being frosted, songs are being recorded, and engines are being tuned, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Good morning. Still heavy traffic out here on 24 West headed towards Nashville. A lot of traffic still on 840 right now headed over towards Franklin, Williamson County. Short stopping of delays there at Broad and Church, Broad and Memorial as well. Celebrate Autumn at Over Gatlinburg during Oktoberfest going on now through October 28th. Check out all the fun details at overgatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Cloudy this afternoon. Areas of showers and a few thunderstorms, high in the upper 80s. Tonight, slight chance of seeing some rain, low near 60, high of 85 on Tuesday. Lots of sunshine. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood on News Radio WGNS. Right now, 66.
This weather on WGNS brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Experience real hometown banking. I'm Shelley Rigsby, manager of First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We're at 2230 Mercury Boulevard. We are a local community bank. We offer a personal one-on-one experience with each of our customers that you will not be able to get with the larger institutions. Come see us at the Bank Murfreesboro Calls First. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
Hey, hi, and hello there.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett.
Fun lovers and truth seekers.
Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS AM FM online.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Give us a shout. Be a part of the show if you have a question dealing with our Rutherford County schools. Happy birthday to Miles Tate. Miles is the birthday winner today. Gets the goodies from Simply Pure Sweets. And our good neighbor of the day, we've already heard from their mom, David and Sandy Douglas, who confirmed they are wonderful. Absolutely. That's a non-biased mom's decision there. Every mom has that opportunity. And they get flowers from Jenny Harrison and everybody at Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. Our guest this morning from the Rutherford County School System, the Director of Communications, James Evans, with us, and also the Rutherford County Schools Assistant Superintendent for Engineering and Construction, Trey Lee. So if you have a question for either of them, give us a call now, 615-893-1450. And Trey's going to have to slip out of here about 10 till, because he has a planning commission? I mean, this stuff never ends, does it?
No, sir. We're the Rutherford County Planning Commission has a work session at 9, and I attend that to kind of keep up with what's going on.
Now, we had heard that you had, I don't know whether it had been settled or just in the talking stages, but you were looking at land over in the Walter Hill area, and that you pretty well had firmed up a piece. Did that land perk okay? I mean, it did.
Yes, sir. That was actually good farmland.
Okay. So is it more toward Woodbury, that area that gives you the problems with the rocks? Or?
No, sir. It's more that Amelville, between Amelville and the Williamson County line.
Really?
Okay. Right through there. It's pretty Spantown Road, Independent Hill, Patterson Road out through there. It's fairly rocky out through there.
And they are getting big growth. I mean, yes. Apartment complexes. So it's that focused growth that's creating the issue.
Yeah, the apartment complexes out in the Blackman area, that where that density is increasing, is putting a strain on the Blackman area schools. So we try to get a little further out of town,
mm-hmm.
if there is such a thing anymore. But we try and get a little bit further out so we can capture more area, and also try and stay within our transportation goals of 45 minutes to an hour of a child on a bus. We don't like to keep, by law, we can't keep them on a bus any longer than that. So we try. It's a juggling act to find the right location to fix the, you know, to try and alleviate the overcrowding at two or three schools, and also the transportation key falls in there as well.
Now, with the Blackman area, are those apartments on sewers, or are they on septic tanks? Or?
They're actually on city sewer.
City sewer, okay.
Yes, sir.
So, but since you have high schools, obviously those apartments have high school students at all ages in
mm-hmm.
there. But the county system is the one that does middle school and high school.
Yes, sir.
So you've got the full face-on brunt of that population.
Yes, sir. And our biggest growth the last couple of years, and especially this year, is our middle school band. So, you know, every year we analyze numbers and crunch numbers and try and predict, you know, what we've seen in the past and where we're going, and the middle school has been our biggest growth band for the last couple of years. And usually what that means is in 3 or 4 years, that transitions over to high schools. But right now it's our middle schools.
Do you ever want, and I used to think this, because I remember some small growth where I went to school growing up, and I used to think, I wonder what happens if they build all these schools and then the population slows down. Is that ever a possibility?
Well, I hate to say never, but it hasn't been in the last 10 to 15 years in our demographic. Just as an example, we opened two new schools last year, and last year we had 17 schools that were overcrowded, over 100%. So with opening two schools, we did make progress. We're down to 14 schools that are overcrowded. So the new schools do help. It actually took six schools that were overcrowded and reduced their numbers back. However, we had three new schools that got added to the rolls of the overcrowded list. So it's a moving target that just keeps growing.
Oh, man. And I remember when I was growing up, one of the things that caught the attention of people was the portable buildings, and they were always, let's get rid of portables, they're unsafe, blah, blah, blah. I guess that's just a way of life now.
Yes, sir. We've got some that are over 20 years old now. We have 112
portables.
Yes, sir.
Do you just move them around?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And every year we have more requests than we have supply.
Are there any schools, James, that don't have portable? Any systems in the United States that talk about, hey, we don't have portables?
I'm sure there are some somewhere that don't have to rely on those portable classrooms. We're not one of them. and you know, our board wants to get out of the portable business. They've been talking about that for years, but realistically, it's going to take a lot of building in order for that to happen. And so what we're trying to do is hopefully not add any new ones, and like Mr. Lee said, kind of move those puzzle pieces around every year the best that we can. Some of them we can't move. They've been with us so long that they needed to stay where they are because it's more risky or expensive to move them than it is just to let them stay. But we've been fortunate that we haven't had to purchase any new ones in a few years, so hopefully we won't have to buy any new. We'd rather invest in brick and mortar than in portables.
Now, let me ask you this, because this has come up several times with listeners asking about ways to put two schools in one structure, to, you know, divide the day, early and then later, early classes and then after, you know, real early classes, maybe 7 o'clock or so, and run them up until 5, but divide it in half.
It's something that's known as multi-tracking. It sounds like a good solution until you start looking at the logistics. You know, the state requires a 6.5-hour school day. We actually go to school for 7 hours because we stockpile that extra half an hour for snow days and training days and things like that, which is what the state permits. So you're looking at trying to squeeze in 2 7-hour chunks. As far as your personnel, you would have to double your teaching force in those cases because you can't expect people to work 14 hours a day. Parents trying to juggle multiple children. I have multiple boys myself, and so which schedule you're on and which one has sports practice or has this after school or mom's got to get to work, you know, it gets really complex to do that. But, you know, there has been discussion at looking at some options. One of the things that we're looking at over the next 5 to 10 years is going to be increasing our online program so that students, especially in high school, can take some of those classes online. We already have them doing that somewhat, but we're growing that program, and that will hopefully take some of the pressure off of our high schools because they can actually take the course from home just like you would do in a college setting, which is becoming more popular. But it still requires someone on the other end to be grading the papers and leading the instruction and those kinds of things.
We have a text question here. When do you plan on building another school in the Walter Hill area, and would that be a three-campus system also?
Walter Hill is for a middle and a high school, so it would be we would maintain the elementary, and then the property that we purchased would be for a middle and a high school.
It's basically across the street. It's a little ways down the street, but it's pretty close to the existing elementary school.
So you already have some land.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, but it is relatively close.
Yes,
to
sir.
The elementary school.
It's within a quarter mile. But it's across the road, but it's very close.
And when you say across the road, are you saying across John Bragg Highway or the old Woodbury Highway?
231.
Out near the crossroads, you know, Crossroads Market where Jefferson Pike and 231 cross. It's down 231 towards Lebanon a little ways.
Okay.
Be on the east side of 231.
All right. When do you think that might start happening?
Right now, that school is we're fixing to begin to relook at these new numbers from this year and adjust our building program. Last year, that school was listed for 2 years out. We have not completed our analysis, you know, for this year. It could still be 2 years out. It could be a year out. We're going to crunch these numbers and kind of see where the housing developments are going to be and take a take a good guess at what's going to come online and then see where we what we propose next. But it in the next 2 to 5 years, yes, sir, there would be a middle school built out there.
Yeah, every November typically our board has a planning meeting for these kinds of things. And we have a 2 to 5 year building plan in place at all times. But every year we look at it, the board does, to figure out where do we need to make adjustments because of where the growth is, you know, the development's moving a little faster in one area than we thought or moving a little slower. And so we'll have that meeting coming up here in November, and that's when they'll start focusing a little more on the next 2 years. And then they have some plans after that, and every year it just gets a little bit more in focus, and we add another couple of years to the plan so we can keep ahead of it.
Okay. Now, another question here from Walter Hill, a person saying that they're surprised that you're not going to be building a new elementary school also because the one that's out there has a good many years on it.
Well, we've got a number of schools that have a good many years on them, and the intent is to, you know, keep those buildings up. As long as we keep a good roof on them and keep the buildings functional and comfortable, that's one thing we're looking at now. We're going to, tomorrow night, have a strategic planning. Mr. Spurlock has started this year. He's requesting that we do a three-year strategic plan on things, and we've spent the last year and a half going through all of our buildings with a fine-tooth comb, the HVAC systems, our lighting, roofing, doors and windows, those kind of things that, you know, major upkeep type items that to get a good grasp of where we are with our buildings and what we need to do to keep those buildings functioning for years to come. So I don't see us, I mean, if you think about it, Central Magnet was built in the 40s, and it's quite a bit older than Walter Hill is. So that we're continuing to, this year we're putting a new HVAC system in Central Magnet, and the intent's to keep using these schools for a long time.
Yeah, McFadden opened in 29. And what we've done at some other schools, too, like Smyrna Primary School, David Urey, those are two examples in the Smyrna area. is when we're available to do so, the board will go back and do some renovations or additions, or maybe even put up a new facade on the front of the building, and that way we can kind of renew some of these older buildings. But there's demand so many places, you kind of have to strategically look at which schools can stay where they are and where do we need the new facilities and go from there.
Another question here dealing with Walter Hill. Is the Walter Hill School a sure thing? The Walter Hill word is that it cannot be built where you're proposing. They want to know what's the real story.
That's news to me. There's no reason it can't be. We have the land purchased. The road system is there. The water is there. And the soil is, we've had it tested so we can build a sand filtration system. So there's no reason that I'm aware of that we could not build there.
All righty. We have a question now from listeners over in the Eagleville area, and they're saying that with the new septic tank system or the new sewer system that they put in Eagleville, it's already bringing quite a few new subdivisions. That area is prime for growth. It's the next area right out of Rockville where they're seeing population explosions. What's happening with Eagleville? Any plans there?
Right now, Eagleville's in pretty good shape. It's capacity-wise. In fact, it's one of the few schools that we have that's still allowing zone exemptions.
That's right.
That's usually the first key that we're beginning to fill up is the schools required that they can no longer do zone exemptions. So, Eagleville, we've got some room out there. And it's kind of like everything else. When they built that sewer system, of course, we tied on to it. The school system did. We had our own pump station there, and we took advantage of it and tied on to it. And we knew that when you bring sewer, it brings development, and we're beginning to see that there. But right now, we're in pretty good shape.
And we did some additions out of Eagleville not that long ago. We had a two-phase program out there that they completed, and so they've got some capacity there. But we'll keep an eye on it, of course, with everything else as we continue to grow.
Well, it's time for us to take another break and time for you to slip away to the Planning Commission meeting. We thank you, Trey Lee, for joining us today. We're going to continue the conversation. James Evans is with us this morning from the Rutherford County School System. We'll continue to take phone calls. Stay with us. The number to call, 615-893-1450.
You are my candy girl, and you got me.
Hey, neighbor, when you talk, others listen. If it's on Good Neighbor Talk, keep it here. WTNS, AM, FM, online.
Technology for your home's heating and air system, the Daikin Fit from Precision Air. It's quiet, takes up less space, and uses less power. Chances are, even if you had a unit installed in the last few years, you can still save money by switching to the Daikin Fit. Precision Air, online at precisionairtn.com.
This is Kim Dunaway from Sunshine Nutrition Center. You hear me on Monday mornings at 7:20 talking about how to lead a healthier lifestyle. We carry supplements, personal care, and grocery items at both our Murfreesboro and Smyrna locations, family owned and operated since 1989.
Experience a sense of community and family at the Villages of Murfreesboro. The Villages of Murfreesboro offers spacious apartments, fine dining, and an active social calendar. Try the Villages of Murfreesboro for at least 2 weeks and see if it's for you. Hi, I'm Sue Hall, No Strings. Try the Villages and see if you love it. We're on Willow Oak Trail near the Stones River Battlefield. TheVillagesOfMurfreesboro.com.
Cloudy this afternoon, areas of showers and a few thunderstorms, high in the upper 80s. Tonight, slight chance of seeing some rain, low near 60, high of 85 on Tuesday. Lots of sunshine. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood on News Radio WGNS. Right now, 66.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We are your local rough country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
Start your weekdays with the early show from 4 to 6 a.m., followed by the wake-up crew from 6 to 7:50 on News Radio WGNS.
Welcome back and congratulations to Miles Tate. Miles is our birthday club winner today, getting goodies from Simply Pure Sweets Bakery and Cafe. Our good neighbors of the day today receiving flowers from Lions Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Congratulations going out to a young couple there, David and Sandy Douglas. We've already had a thumbs up from their mom calling in to say, man, they are wonderful folks. Congratulations to you. Our numbers, if you want to join us to talk about our Rutherford County schools, 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. And tonight is a special night, the first town hall meeting. Tell us a little about that, James.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. We're hoping parents can come out. It's open to countywide, all parents, grades pre-K through 12th. We did 9 of these meetings last year. Mr. Spurlock, it was his first year as director of school. He wanted to go out in the community and to go to all the various school clusters and kind of have a State of the Union kind of speech, you know, give some information about the school district, make some advocates out of parents and things like that. Talk about these issues that we're talking about this morning, growth and academics and ways parents can help. We've condensed those this year to 4 meetings, and we're doing something a little different. We're going to have a different presentation every meeting. So this first one, a lot of our instruction people are going to be giving some information to parents about elementary, middle, and high school, understanding what our focus is and how they can help at home, because the best teacher your kids can have are your parents, of course. And then our next meeting is going to be in Rockvale, and we're going to have some industry partners there with the chamber to talk about some of the career pathways and opportunities that we have in our high schools and how that also applies to middle and elementary. But tonight's meeting is at Rock Springs Middle School at 5:30 p.m. That's in Smyrna. That's going to be Director Spurlock and some of his instructional staff will be talking with parents and gathering some feedback, answering questions. So from 5:30 to 6:30, Rock Springs Middle School in Smyrna. We hope that as many people as can come out and join us.
Now, it sounds like with a different topic at each of these school settings that people would want to go to all of them or as many as they can.
Well, and, like I said, I'm a parent myself. I know how busy evening schedules can be. We're trying to offer multiple opportunities, and so some topics will be repeated at each meeting, but we're also going to have some specialized topics at each one as well. We're going to flip-flop so that tonight we're in the north end of the county. Next month we'll be out in Rockvale, and then in the spring semester we'll do 2 more, and there'll be one on each end of the county so that we can try to be convenient for more parents to come out.
Once again, the time and location tonight?
Rock Springs Middle School in Smyrna at 5:30 p.m. It should be over by about 6:30 p.m.
All righty. So put that on your calendar and make that in your plans for this evening. What else can parents do? They're hearing about all of this unprecedented growth. We've seen the new high school over in Rockvale opening. You were surprised with the 6th grade, the spike in the class, never saw that before. What can parents do?
Well, we want parents to be advocates for us. That's one of the biggest things, so that when things come up about needing funding for this or that with the county commission, that they understand why we're asking for those things. We think our commissioners do for the most part. Like I said earlier, they're trying to balance a lot of different budget requests from different departments, law enforcement, things like that, ambulance service. But these schools, if we don't stay on top of this growth, we're not on top of it now, but if we don't keep up with it somewhat, we're going to get further behind. And so that's one thing that parents can do is understand when we make these requests, when they hear about things like potential property tax increases, all those things, that we're doing it for those reasons. That's why we're making those requests. That's the biggest job they can do to help us.
Okay, so with the growth that we're seeing, we've already had several contacts this morning about Walter Hill. You mentioned a need to solve something in the Rockvale area again. Not sure how to do that. Mm-hmm. But are there some other, you mentioned the Buchanan area?
Yes, yeah, so we have some, what they refer to it as the Tan Oaks property, but it's an area in between Christiana and Buchanan. We are looking at building some schools there, elementary to middle school. We also have plans to potentially put a high school in that area one day. The Walter Hill schools, of course, and I hate that rumor has started that we're not going to build there. We've got the land. It's tested. It's ready to go. We've just got to get it into the building program now. But we are planning on building 2 schools there. And then that western side, so the Almaville Road area, Blackman Corridor, that 840 area, we've got to get some schools out there to relieve some of the growth out of that way. Blackman Middle School, for example, has more than 1,500 students right now. So they're a very large middle school. We've already built an annex out in that school for just sixth grade, and it's full now again. So we've got to get some pressure off of those schools. And when you do that, just like we did with Rockville High School, there's kind of a cascade domino effect where it's going to help relieve schools in other areas because we can shift some things around.
That is probably the most dense populated area in Rutherford County, the Blackman area.
Well, I think that 24 corridor and 840, that's a popular thing for a popular area for commuters. They can get to the schools, get to the road quickly, and get to Nashville or Franklin or where it is they're going. So that's part of it. It's also close to a lot of shopping areas like the Avenue and all those kinds of things that are popular in Murfreesboro. So that's one reason that area is as dense as it is.
Do you foresee a time when we'll be having high schools and middle schools close together like we're seeing the elementary schools?
I think you'll see them closer together for sure. And, I mean, look at Murfreesboro itself now. We have the four high schools in Murfreesboro proper plus Central Magnet School. Then you've got Rockville High School, which is just not that far outside of the city limits. And then, you know,
barely outside.
Stewart's Creek is not that far. You know, it's kind of in that Smyrna-Murfreesboro mixture there. But you're seeing that more and more. But high schools are built to house more students, typically 2,000 to 2,300. So there's not as much need to build as many of those like you do with the elementary and middle because they're so expensive to build the high schools. But I do think you'll see that density increase.
We have about a minute left in the broadcast, and I don't want to take anything away from something you want to get across. In this last minute, what would you like for the public to know about our school system?
Well, I want the public to know that we are working very hard to ensure that we are meeting the needs of students and giving them opportunities to be successful in the future. We have a variety of things all the way from elementary through high school that are there that are just amazing opportunities that we didn't have before. Things that I never experienced when I was in high school. And I'm just very proud of what we're able to offer and everyone working together, parents, schools, community members, stakeholders, just everyone pulling together for students.
We've been focusing this morning on our Rutherford County school system, and our guests have been the Rutherford County School Assistant Superintendent for Engineering and Construction, Trey Lee, along with Communications Director James Evans. Thank you both for joining us today. Truman's next, right here on your Good Neighbor station. Hey, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.